Holy Gospel is found in John's Gospel, chapter 14. This will serve as the basis for our meditation this morning. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to be with me, so that you may also be where I am. You know where I am going, and you know the way. Lord, we don't know where you're going, Thomas replied. So how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you would also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Lord, said Philip, show us the Father, and that is enough for us. Have I been with you so long, Jesus answered, and you still do not know me, Philip? The one who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I am telling you, I am not speaking on my own, but the Father who remains in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe because of the works themselves. The Gospel of the Lord. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We all like to have access. We all like to have access to things we want, places we want to go. You know, maybe it's particular products or particular store. You want to have access to that place. Or to get that particular product, and you know the store promises that if you download their app and sign up for their, they'll spam you with their all kinds of deals and savings you can get exclusively from them. Or maybe it's access to places you want to go. We had our school field trip to SeaWorld on Friday, and I remember in line with the kids, we were about halfway through the 75-minute wait for Infinity Falls, And one of the kids are like, why are there people going through that line faster than we are? Well, they have access. They have that pass that gets them to pass all the long line and jump right onto the ride. Maybe it's access to things you would like to do or people you would like to see. But we all know, or we know all too well, that so often, more often than not, we don't always get access. Your store runs out of certain products, or paywalls get expensive, or roads are closed, or travel costs keep racking up until they're beyond your budget. We don't have access to celebrities or athletes or CEOs of major corporations or to world leaders like the President of the United States or the newly crowned King of England. Unless, of course, maybe someone here did actually get an invitation to be among the intimate crowd of 2,000 people that were there yesterday morning. I know I didn't get that invitation. I didn't get that kind of access except through the television. So how do you get access to the famous? How do you get access to the powerful? How do you get access to what you want? Often it takes something like a press pass or a backstage pass to get you where the average person cannot go. But more often than not, sometimes it's a matter of knowing the right person with the right credentials or the right connections or who happens to know the right person who can get you in to get you where the kind of access that you don't normally get. What about access to God? You know, the Lord of heaven and earth, the creator of all things, the judge of the living and the dead. Now, you would think that access to the holy God would be easy and open. In fact, most everyone thinks that they have access to God to tell him what they think, to make some demands, to offer their prayers, whatever the case. You ask most people how they have access to God, and they'll tell you, well, I've been pretty good. If I work hard, if I'm faithful, if I'm moral, not like, you know, so-and-so over here, if I do my best and don't get myself into trouble, if I don't mess up in a big way, then surely God's got to give me access. You know, if it's kind of, we all measure ourselves on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, 1 being the worst and 10 being the most perfect person in the world, you know, I like to think I'm an 8. I'm probably more of a 7, and my wife probably thinks I'm a 6, but, you know, the fact is as long as you're above a 5, you're good, right? Sounds like something that's pretty common to us all. Comes to us pretty naturally. If I just work hard enough, if I am just faithful enough, if I just do the right things, the right combination of good works, then God has to give me access. At first it sounds pretty good, but then Jesus has something to say to that attitude. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's a pretty exclusive claim. Jesus uses intentional words that are very exclusive. No one except, you know, things like that. According to Jesus, there is only one way to have access to the holy God, and that is through him alone. Now, naturally, a claim like that is going to lead to all kinds of objections. How can there be no other way except through Jesus? I mean, there's such nice people who follow their gods. Why not? How can you say I'm not good enough? Are you kidding me? At least I'm not like that fill in the blank over there. You actually dare to say that apart from you, I and my loved ones are headed for hell? Are you kidding? How judgmental. How intolerant. How exclusive. How can you possibly make such an absolute claim? And all those objections quickly turn into rejection because Jesus' claim of being the only access to God shuts out all those who are firmly convinced that it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe it. Even for people like you and me who have come to know Christ, there's a sting in those words. Your sinful nature doesn't want to hear that Jesus is the only access to the Father, especially if you harbor in your heart the thought that God has to pay attention to how you serve him. Your sinful nature makes you cringe when you have to admit to your friends that you actually trust in this someone who made such an exclusive claim over 2,000 years ago. You cringe because you know that they will always see it negatively and you're just waiting for the blowback. Those friends, those loved ones, those co-workers, those classmates, they don't have access to their Heavenly Father apart from Jesus. They're actually headed for hell. And who wants to hear that? Who wants to even ponder that reality? Jesus' statement is exclusive. By today's standards, it is intolerant. It is absolute. It is judgmental because it is true. But there's much more there in Jesus' claim than condemnation. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you would also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Yes, Jesus' statement is so exclusive and is exclusive to those without access, but it also means that he gives us exclusive access to our Heavenly Father. You see, Jesus, of all people of all time, he's the one who has the right credentials. He's the one with the right connections to give us exclusive access to the Father, and that we can't find that anywhere else. Jesus has these credentials. You're not going to find it anywhere else. Jesus is truly human and truly God. That's how Jesus gives us access to the Father. Now, his own disciples had a hard time wrapping their minds around that. In fact, Philip, one of Jesus' most practical thinking disciples, even called Jesus out on this claim. He heard Jesus' words of exclusive access and didn't understand what Jesus was telling them. You see, Philip wanted to see glory. He wanted to see the Father. Lord, show us the Father, and that is enough for us. I mean, we could sympathize with Philip. I mean, he'd been around Jesus for 3 years. He knew that Jesus was the Messiah, but he wanted to see God himself. He wanted to be absolutely sure, and you know, the best route to that is to see the glory. He wanted just a little glimpse of glory, and that would be enough, Lord. And yet, you can see Jesus shake his head. Have I been with you so long? And you still do not know me, Philip. The one who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Jesus wanted Philip and his other disciples to realize they didn't have to go looking anywhere else for access to the Father. They were not going to find it in anyone else, in anything else, or above all, in themselves. They had Jesus, and that's all they needed, and in fact, that's all that we need too. But how do I know that Jesus gives me access to the Father? Well, Jesus provides two ways that we can be absolutely sure we have access through him. The first is through his words. The words that I am telling you, I am not speaking on my own, but the Father who remains in me is doing his work. Believe me that I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me. Why does it matter that what Jesus taught? Why does it matter how Jesus taught? Well, Jesus was like no other teacher. He was like no other rabbi. He spoke with an authority that only God himself had. He spoke with a divine authority. He didn't have to cite anyone else. He spoke as God himself, and all the people around him knew that. They recognized that. We have evidence of that throughout the Gospels. He speaks with an authority. They were more impressed by that than some of his miracles at times. But why speak like that? Jesus had to speak as God himself because his words were not exclusively his, but rather the words of the triune God. With words, he cut and killed human hearts with the harsh preaching of God's judgment. With words, he also healed and raised to life with the sweet good news of sins forgiven, of exclusive access to the Father, of life eternal. With words, Jesus proclaimed a message like no other, a message of the unconditional love of God for sinners who deserve it not. For Jesus, those words were life for us. And then Jesus put those words into action. The Father who remains in me is doing his work. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe because of the works themselves. It wasn't just Jesus' words, but it was his works that demonstrated time and again that he was truly God and that he was the only way to the Father. I mean, just look at what he did. You see it in his perfect life, submitting to his heavenly Father's holy will. You see it throughout his public ministry and the miracles he performed as Jesus healed the sick, as Jesus gave sight to the blind and caused the deaf to hear, as Jesus caused the paralyzed to actually walk. He cast out demons. He raised the dead. Jesus demonstrated his own divine authority. Yet as amazing as those miracles were, they were nothing more than a preview to the greater things he was about to do starting that very night when he spoke these words. Jesus spoke words of comfort and confidence to his troubled disciples on the night he was betrayed. Mere hours later, Jesus was betrayed. He was beaten. He was mocked. He was spit on. He was condemned. And then Jesus would be flogged, rejected, condemned by those who had him nailed to a cross, and then put on shameful display for all to see. Jesus would suffer the punishment of hell for the sins of all, even for those who reject him for being so exclusive and so intolerant. And then he suffered death. Yet 3 days later, Jesus' tomb stood empty. Unlike any other, Jesus would conquer sin and Satan and death forever. He would guarantee that the promises he made to his followers and the promises he makes to us would be fulfilled to the very last one, even the promise of eternal life, where he said to his disciples, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." That is an exclusive promise from our exclusive Savior. A promise like that reminds you why it matters that you have exclusive access to the Father through Jesus. Jesus is the way. There's no other way, no other door, no other entrance or exit. Jesus is the only way for you to enjoy the heavenly comfort and joy that awaits you with your Father in heaven. Jesus is the truth. In our day and age, your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth, but none of them are the truth. Yet my personal truth and your personal truth, none of these can withstand the trials, difficulties, the challenges and hardships, the temptations, the sorrows, the griefs of this life. They break down. They cannot withstand the brokenness of our lives and of our world. And yet Jesus can. Jesus has. Jesus does. He picks you up when you've been crushed. He takes on your burden when you have been overwhelmed. He calms your troubled heart with peace. He dries your tears with the comfort of the resurrection and removes your guilt with grace. He stays by your side every step of the way until he brings you home. And that is a guarantee you will not find anywhere or in anywhere in anyone else. And finally, Jesus is the life. On your own, you're dead. On my own, I'm dead. This life simply passes away like the grass. We're here today and gone tomorrow. But in Jesus, you have life with him. In Jesus, you have eternal life with your Heavenly Father. No one else can guarantee that to you. No one else can give that to you. Apart from Jesus, there is no other way. There is no other truth. There is no other life. And yet there is comfort when Jesus states clearly and exclusively, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Through Christ, you have exclusive access to God himself. Through Christ, you have exclusive access to your Heavenly Father who loves and saves you through his Son. So, my dear friends, believe in the reality of your exclusive Savior. Look forward with hope to what he has in store for you exclusively in his Father's heavenly home. Be confident in this, in that Jesus is our only way, our only truth, and our only life. Because of this reality, Christ is risen.